That is the sound of hundreds of thousands of protesters gathered in Cairo's Tahrir Square, still calling for Mubarak to step down from his post as president. Earlier this morning, the military pledged its support for President Mubarak's plan to stay in power until elections in September. The military also said, though, it will lift the country's 30-year state of emergency law, but only when the protests end. The response from the streets this morning, predictable.
No one's going home. No one's going to go home. We're in this till the end, even if it means we're going to die, because people have died for this, and all of us are prepared to die for this.
Across Cairo, the crowds have taken up positions outside key symbols of the regime, like parliament. We have reports of that there are 5,000 to 6,000 people gathered outside the state TV offices, barring staff members from leaving the building. Here's what it sounds like there outside state TV. Protests not just in the capital city. Tens of thousands have filled the main boulevard in Egypt's second largest city, Alexandria. And we're getting reports of some government buildings being seized in the city of Suez. We're hearing from opposition leader Mohamed El-Bardeh this hour as well. He just sent a tweet, says the entire nation is on the streets. Only way out is for regime to go. People power can't be crushed. We shall prevail. Let's check in on the markets. Asian markets are mixed. European indices are down, and so are futures. The Dow will start at 12,229, the S&P at 1,321, the NASDAQ at 2790. We always want to hear what you want to say, especially if you have a comment about what's going on in Egypt. Reach us by phone, email, or Facebook. That's facebook.com/thetakeaway. Well, there are lots of worries about the possibility for violence in Egypt. We want to talk about the possibility for peace there. With us, we have Shibli Tilhami, Anwar Sadat, Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Also, our friend Zachary Lachman, Professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University, joins us again as well. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Shibli, at this point, is violence inevitable? We've been hearing all morning that the military is squeezed between their support for Mubarak's regime and the determination of the protesters to stay in Tahrir Square. Is it inevitable at some point that aggression will enter in?
I don't think it's inevitable, but obviously the chance of that has increased the last couple of days. The public expectations are high. And clearly they were dashed by the president's speech and by the vice president's speech, and to some extent by the second communique by the military that was issued today, although that communique really did not threaten violence as such, basically talked about assurances. What's puzzling in all this, you talk about the military being squeezed, something really is strange going on, because technically the military has not waged a coup d'etat. I mean, even though they're meeting and they're issuing communiques, everybody's pretending like the constitution as it exists is still in power. That's why Mubarak essentially is staying as a symbol, symbolic head of state and transferring power to Suleiman. So essentially, the vice president, at least, if not the president, still has the authority. And yet they are issuing guarantees on their own. What does that mean? Are they acting outside of the authority? Are they saying that they're above the presidency? It's a very strange kind of guarantee, and it tells you how complicated it is for them. They haven't figured out whether they're an independent institution. Are they now subject to the authority of the presidency? Are they moving in that direction? So I think a lot of that obviously is unclear, and it might be tested depending on what the demonstrators do. For now, most of the demonstrators appear to be peaceful, but you're talking about millions of people with different agendas. All it takes is one party to start some violent attack and then the military to be engaged. The military also has to worry about the loyalty of its rank and file, whose heart is clearly with the demonstrators, and I don't know that they can take too much risk if they want to be part of any future regime in Egypt.
Zachary Lachman of NYU, we've talked a lot this morning about the U.S. response to what's going on in Egypt and what the president of the United States needs to do. Maybe you can help me understand what the Middle East has to do, what the rest of the Arab world has to do. Are they invested in keeping peace in Egypt? Would they be called upon to step in should there violence break out in Egypt?
Well, certainly everybody across the Middle East is watching this very, very closely, both regimes and the people. Their eyes are glued to Al Jazeera, I'm sure. I think there are different things at stake for different people. The regimes, in the autocratic regimes especially, didn't like the precedent set in Tunisia, and they don't want a precedent of democratic transition set in Egypt either, because the winds of change will blow on them shortly. And if this movement succeeds in Egypt, it will affect them down the road. They don't have any direct stake in this. I'm sure some of them are in communications with Mubarak. There may be some who are saying hold firm. But largely, this is really up to the Egyptians and, to some extent, the United States at this moment.
So, Shibli Tahami, is there anybody at this point that can sort of tip the balance towards peace? Perhaps the Turkish prime minister, who's so popular in that region. President Obama, let's gauge his power at this point to maybe influence the military. I'm assuming at this point that there's nobody that can influence Mubarak. That's maybe too broad an assumption.
I think that's correct. I think that, frankly, the outside world has not all that much influence in all this. The U.S. does have leverage with the military, but it's limited. Everybody is fighting for their life right now, so the stakes are high for them internally. Ultimately, what's going to happen in Egypt is going to be, Egyptians' choice. And frankly, I think the minute you start having heavy-handed or appearance of heavy-handed intervention by anyone, it backfires and you can have blowback. I don't think that's the way to go. But the U.S. absolutely has some leverage with the military. And one of the things that the U.S. must insist on is that this thing remains peaceful, and it must insist on that the military cannot possibly fire on demonstrators. That's a message that's going through privately. It doesn't have to go publicly. But let me say why. The stakes are huge for the U.S. A successful, peaceful revolution is Bin Laden's nightmare. It is Bin Laden's nightmare. If a successful, empowered, peaceful, non-ideological revolution fails, it'll become our nightmare, because that empowerment is going to go in a different direction that's going to come back to haunt everyone.
We want to put out the call again to you there listening. We heard what Shibli Tahami says that the United States needs to do. What do you think the U.S. needs to do? Give us a call with your comment on what you would do if you were in charge of U.S. foreign policy at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Zachary Lockman, clearly there's a lot at stake for the United States, but the people with the most at stake right now are the Egyptian people. For the demonstrators out in Tahrir Square, do they need to elect, even popularly among the people, someone to lead them in order for us to maintain some kind of peace during the transition?
They've been doing pretty well so far with that leadership of young activists who launched this, who've stayed behind the scenes. They're in touch with leaders of opposition parties, with the leaders of the Muslim Brothers, who can act as intermediaries, people like Mohammed al-Baradei. So at this stage, they're just pushing forward. And something remarkable has, I think, happened in the last 72 hours as well that may not have gotten a lot of attention. The social base of this movement has exploded. You saw in the last couple of days the doctors marched, right, from Egypt's largest hospital, the university professors, the lawyers in their black robes. And there's an explosion of strikes across Egypt. Working people have gotten involved in this, who have a long history of militancy and for whom their economic demands, their desire for a better life, higher wages, is very closely connected with the fact that they haven't had the right to form their own trade unions. And whenever they strike, the secret police come in and beat them up. So this is spreading in an unprecedented way and shows no sign of letting up.
That's Zachary Lockman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies and History at New York University. And Shibli Tahami, thanks as always. Anwar Sadat, professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.